Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one who gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold on the ground. See, here's that belongs to you. Here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, we're very happy to have our district, assistant district superintendent, Pastor Gingas, Chen with us. Some of you probably met Pastor Chen during our ordination of Pastor Leo earlier this year. Pastor Gingas joined the district office last year. But he was so busy that he can only come now. I actually booked him long time ago. He's going to join us at the snack later on, so make sure you get to meet him, welcome him. Pastor Gingas has served as the senior pastor of the South Edmonton Alliance Church for 21 years. So he has started when he was a teenager there. and then he served as the English pastor for the Calgary Chinese Alliance Church for 5 years, from 93 to 98. He also served as the chair for the what we call the Canadian Chinese Alliance Church Association, CCACA. So we're very happy to have him this morning. So I want to hand over the time to Pastor Gingas.
Thank you, Pastor Norman. It's good to be back. I almost forgot that I was here almost a year ago, was it? Like Norman, you said I was here for Pastor Leo's ordination in the beginning of the year. I thought it was 2 months ago, but he was right. He tried to bring me back here to share with you, but I had to cancel him twice because of something unexpected. So my apologies to you, Norman, again. Thank you for bringing me back here today. I took off my jacket and my tie. I noticed nobody wears a tie here, including Pastor Norman. But I came prepared, fully prepared for the other service, Cantonese service. I'll be speaking at 11:30, or is it 11 or something like that? I don't know. So it's good to see you. I think I've met some of you before, maybe at Winter Conference, or maybe many years ago when you were teenagers, but I actually preached here a couple of times. I want to bring you greetings from, nobody takes off the mask, right? Except our song leader, a couple of you. Is it okay? All right, Norman said okay. Well, there you go. So now you can hear me more clearly, I suppose, right? Because I have these non-disposable masks, and they actually buffer the sound. Anyways, I want to bring you greetings from the district office. I think Mark Peters was here not too long ago, my boss, the superintendent. I believe Dwayne was also here. We do have 4 pastors in the district office, and we do visit churches from time to time. So it's good to be here today. Pastor Mark Peters asked me to send his very best to you. He's actually preaching at a Vietnamese church this morning in Surrey. So this morning, I want to share with you a parable. It's from Matthew chapter 25. It's something that we all know. I think when I first learned this parable, I was only in grade 1 or 2 Sunday school. And my Sunday school teacher said to me that, you know, when you read a parable, you have to pay attention to the story, right? So every parable has a story, and there's also the main point. Now, this is written by Jesus. This parable was actually designed and engineered by Jesus. So he had something to tell us. In fact, he was trying to tell us what the kingdom looks like in the future, what the kingdom looks like even now. But then most people did not know the meaning of the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. So Jesus put a story together to try to illustrate to the people that he was preaching to about the kingdom. So when you see, you can do the next slide. When you see a parable, you always see two things. Number one is that you will see the main point. For this parable, the main point is the kingdom. The main point is not the 1 bag of gold, 2 bags of gold, or 5 bags of gold. Or in another translation, you go by like 1,000 talents, 2,000, and 5,000. That's only the story. That's not the main point. But it is also important for us to fully understand the story, because without understanding the story, we cannot understand the main point. You get the point? Pretty straightforward, right? So back to the illustration here, back to the story. We have a master and 3 servants. And I forgot the lady who actually helped us read the Bible right here. So it's all good. We all know what happened to the story. We all know what happened to the 3 servants. So to quickly, because I didn't know you're going to read the scripture before the sermon, I'm going to quickly just tell you there are 3 episodes in this story. And the first one happened when the master was still with the servants, right? That's the first episode before the master's departure. And the story tells us that before he went on a journey, long, long, long journey, he asked his servants to come, and I'm going to divide up all my worth. I'm going to divide my business. I'm going to give you 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, and 1 bag of gold. And I want you to invest the money I've given you so that we can reap some profit. And this is episode number 1, straightforward, before the master's departure. Second episode is after the master's left. After the master left, you know what happened, right? The 5,000 went out to invest 5,000. 2,000 did the same thing, and he came back doubling the money. The one with 1,000 basically dug a hole and hit the gold in the ground. Episode number 3, this is the highlight. And this is also the last episode, the last story from this parable. After a long time, I don't know how long it was, but Bible says after a long time, must be a long time. He didn't just go out down the road to superstore to buy grocery. The master went a long way. After a long time, he finally came back. And then the servants had to give an account. 5,000 made 5,000, good and faithful servant. 2,000 made 2,000, 4,000 in total, good and faithful servant. What happened to the 1,000? I always like to read this part repeatedly. I always want to see this. Like, I want to find out what exactly went wrong with this 1,000 or 1 bag of gold servant who has received only 1 bag of gold. What's wrong with them after a long time? I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't know how many of you are in investments. How many of you are bankers, investment bankers, iBankers? How many of you invest in stock markets? You look kind of smart to me. I think you have some intelligence in that area, right? So right now is not a good time to invest money into the stock market, right? You know why? Because all the FANG, they're going down, right? I don't know. I heard Google went down like 50%. Am I correct? Something like that. I heard that Netflix came back up 30% after losing its value for like more than 70%, something like that, right? I'm not an investor. I'm just like copying some of the things that I heard from the news. So now is not a good time to invest. And if you were the servant number one and you got $1,000, one bag of gold, and you didn't think it was the right time to invest, so you went out and dig a hole and hide the money in there, that's okay. But this is after a long time. Basically, how long, we don't know. But we know the mentality of this guy who received 1,000 talent, one bag of gold from the master. He had no intention in finding opportunities to invest the money. He basically dug a hole, hid the money, and he walked away. Forget about the whole thing until the master returned. And he went out, reopened that hole, get the $1,000 back, get the one bag of gold back, and said, you know what, Lord, here you go. This is the original currency, the original 10 or 100 gold coins that you had given me, one bag full, back to you. He didn't even open it in the first place. So I wonder what happened to him. What exactly went through his mind? Servant number three, and you know what? He had the guts to tell the master that, you know what? You are a hard man. I know you're a hard man. You're unreasonable. You're a terrible boss. You didn't even give people money and you want to get money back. You would not sow, but then you want to reap, to harvest. You did not scatter seed, but you want to gather the harvest. So this guy made up a whole bunch of accusations, false accusations, obviously, against his master, right? If I were him, if I were the one bag of gold guy, the master finally came back, I would feel totally embarrassed and ashamed. I would, after the 5,000 and 2,000 presentation, I would walk up to the master. I would literally kneel down and say, you know what, forgive me, master, because I did not know that you would come back. Maybe you were gone forever. I thought you would never come back or something. I would have other better excuse to give. Maybe I'll give them a PowerPoint presentation to show them that, you know what, just study the TSX, study the, I don't know, what else do you study? You know, the index, right? You know, the Dow Jones, whatever. Come on, the trend is going down. It's going down even more, right? Look at the interest rate. So this is not a good time to invest, and that's why I save you money. At least that's a better excuse, right? But no, he had the guts to walk up to the master, basically, that's kind of swearing. It's not good, right? Basically, just give it to him, right? He said, you know what? You're a hard man. You're unreasonable. You are basically a robber. You're basically trying to make something out of nothing. Oh my goodness. What went through his mind? What went through his mind? And today, I want to focus on this man, just this man, all right? And I want to do three theological reflections with you. And when we do theological reflections, we actually look at the story from today's context. All right. So never mind about the gold. I want to look at the psychological aspect of this servant, servant number three. What actually happened to him? What could have happened to him? My theological reflection number one, because when I read this passage, this actually came up to me. I thought, perhaps this guy rejected the master's order, invitation to invest, simply because he had some negative feelings. This is not even working, so I don't have to speak into this mic. I got this mic right here, right? He felt bad about this. Why? Well, common sense. First servant got 5,000. One bag, two bag, three, four, five bags of gold. It's pretty heavy, right? Sitting on his tummy, I suppose he's my size, right? Right here, oh, it's heavy. He was happy when he walked away. The other guy with 2,000, so two handful, pretty heavy too. He walked away happy. When it comes my turn, elder, right? One bag of gold in front of all the other people. I suppose the master had many servants, but only three got summoned to come up. Whatever. One bag. He was thinking, holding on to this one bag. Toss it around to here, toss it back around. One bag of gold. 20% of servant number one. What good is it? One bag of gold. Perhaps he was feeling, undermined, Perhaps he was feeling like belittled before, like, you know, he was thinking about all kinds of things. He was supposed to receive the largest portion. Maybe he considers himself the best servant of all three, but then he received the least. Maybe he was feeling victimized. Maybe he was feeling discriminated, mistreated. Maybe he was simply feeling stressed out. I don't know about you these days. I've only served in two churches. Pastor Norman gave an introduction earlier. Beddington Chinese Alliance for 5 years, South Edmonton Alliance for 21 years, and then now I'm in working in the district office. But I've visited many churches. Let me tell you what happened when I visit church. I've talked to the pastors, right? I talked to them before the service. I talked to them after the service, and we're friends. We're serving together in a district of churches. And ask them, how are you doing? And this is a common answer that I've been getting from all senior pastors in our district and also in the Western Canadian district from Alberta I came from. People are not willing to serve. People are not willing to serve. Why? Well, they're stressed out. They hate to pick up the phone and say, hey, Norman Tong, Pastor Norman is calling me. Well, chances are, it's like, hey, Pastor Norman, how are you doing? Yeah, well, yeah. Do you have time, Genghis? Could we have a cup of coffee sometime next week? Can we talk about some ministry opportunities, you know? I mean, how many of you want to get a phone call from Pastor Norman? He's not here anymore. He went to do something else. So, well, this is recorded, right? Oh shoot. But you know what I'm saying, right? It may not be Pastor Norman. I know you love Pastor Norman. I love Pastor Norman. He works so hard. I love him. But maybe someone else, maybe a call from me. Well, I won't call you, but just as an example, right? You got a call from your elder, from your pastor, from your committee chair, from your, I don't know, missions committee or something, asking you to consider doing something. I mean, instantly, I guarantee you that you feel stressed out. It doesn't just apply to the second generation. It applies to the people that are older than me. I'm pushing 60, not quite, but getting there. But also in my generation, we don't want to serve because we've done it before, been there, done that. We are tired. We're stressed out. This could be the case for servant number three. I mean, I'm just guessing. This is a story, right? It's a parable. It's subject to interpretation. I mean, I'm not quoting any commentary or scholars or professors. I'm just saying that this could be the case. And that's why he was feeling the negative, and that's why he didn't want to do it. Could that be? Could that be you? If you were the 1,000, could that be your reaction? Feeling mistreated? 5, 2, 1. One? You think I'm one? I deserve more. What do you mean I'm one? Maybe you're stressed out too. Maybe, perhaps, you're thinking the task was too big. Maybe. But one thing I do know, I don't know about this, the servant. The story, that's something I made up. I was only guessing. But one thing I do know is that when we hear God tells us to do something, 100% of the time, after he has spoken to us, you will hear a second voice. God speaks to you, asking you to do something. Instantly after that, 100%, I guarantee you, you will hear the second voice. And the second voice will lead you to second thought. The second voice, not from God, and you know that could be from Satan, could be from you yourself, could be from the people that you talk to, but you'll always hear the second voice, and it is the second voice that leads you to your second thought, having second thought. I mean, if there is something before that, if there is time before that, that you would say, yes, Lord, I will do it, then everything is fine. But when you linger, when you think too much, when you talk to too many people, when you try to look back, when you do being too careful, for example, and you hear second voice, and the second voice will always lead you to the second thought, and you're gonna say, no, I will not do it. How many of you actually recognize this process? How many of you have gone through this process yourself? I have. Oh, yeah, I have. Let me tell you this. This is secret, but you're recording anyways. And this is what, live or whatever? Fine. My boss is not listening. Okay? I don't think Mark Peters would come back to your website and listen to my sermon. I don't think so. If he did, it's okay too. Not him, by the way. It was the former DS who called me 2 years ago to consider this role. And it was the worst time when he called. It's not Mark Peters. It's actually Earl Rempel. He called me before Thanksgiving 2 years ago, and literally within days after he called, my sister, my only sister who lived in Hong Kong, passed away after battling with cancer for 7 years. 2 years ago, it was during COVID. She was in Hong Kong, lonely, hopeless. No friends, no visitors. Even our own husband and daughter could not visit. I lived in Edmonton back then. My mom lived in Calgary back then. We couldn't go back to Hong Kong because of the COVID restrictions. No flights, nothing. Hospital, lockdowns, right? That was during the time that I was sort of invited to consider serving in this new role, moving out to Vancouver. Moving out to Vancouver is a great thing because I love food, right? Who doesn't like food here living in Vancouver? I've counted. I can live here till 75 years of age without visiting the same Chinese restaurant in Greater Vancouver. And I'm actually 55 right now. 20 years, I have enough restaurants to visit without repeating. I love the city. I love the weather, except the rain, which we get today. But leaving my mom, who was a widow, shortly after my sister, only sister, had passed away, and there was no proper closure, and leaving my family too, I got three young adult children. They're now in their 20s. Back then, my youngest was only 19 at the time, but now she's 21, 24, and 26. So leaving them was hard. And I know this is recorded, but I'm going to tell you anyways. I said no to the invitation. Why? Because I didn't want to do it. Why would you want to leave your family when your family needed you the most? Why would you leave an 86-year-old senior, my mom, my only mom, my only relative, I meant, because my father passed away a long time ago. So mom moving into the senior home, sister, my only sister, just passed away. My three young adult children, not really independent yet. In fact, they might be going through some struggles. Some of them, you might know them. I don't want to get into specific, and my wife not wanting to move out until 8 months later. I had all the good reasons for not moving out. I had all the good reasons for not accepting this invitation because I didn't want to do it. I'll be so lonely here by myself. I mean, this is one of my reasons for being acting like servant number three. All these second thoughts came to mind, and second voice came to mind, and the second voice led me to second thought. And I said no three times, believe it or not, to my boss. Satan is good in using all these excuses to help us, well, not to help us, but to make us say no to God's invitation. Satan is really good at using these things to help us, to trap us, to even say no to all these good things. Satan is good at also using fear. That's the greatest lie he tells us. He says, you know what? I mean, you can't do it. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you worried that when you left, your three young adult children would stop going to church, would stop cleaning up the house, which they actually did not do, there's all kinds of fear. What if you can't even do a good job? I mean, you can be comfortable at South Edmonton Alliance Church. You've been there for 21 and a half years. Why can't you just continue and just serve until you retire? I mean, the church is fine. Everything is good. Comfort zone, all these things, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes God, however, would put a Goliath in your life for you The next slide, please. For you to find David within you and signing up for this position in that process 2 years ago was a process like this. This could be what servant number three was thinking, but my second theological reflection leads to the following. What if servant number three was thinking to himself, you know, God has called me to do something, but I could change his plan, right? I acknowledge that he has called me to do something. It's great, but I could change his plan. Have you not tried to change God's plan ever in your life? The next slide, please. Changing from plan A to plan B. Have you not? The most common change of plan is not the what, it's not the when, it's not the how, but it is the who. I mean, God, you have a great plan. Oh, these are all important plans. I'm not going to question the what. I'm going to question the when. I'm not going to question the how, because you're the almighty, all-knowing. You know the best. But not me, the who. We are all good at changing God's plan by changing one definition of his plan, which is who gets to do it, not me. Pastor Norman can do it. Pastor Peter can do it. Pastor Leo can do it. Pastor, you have many pastors. I forgot all the names, but Pastor Stephen can do it. But just not me, right? We're good at changing God's plan. But you know what? When we do not attempt to change God's plan, God will use his plan to transform us. Next slide, please. When we do not attempt to change his plan is actually there for us, for him, God, to change us. What changes might he be able to bring to your lives? I've done it more than a handful of times, and I've learned the following lesson I want to share with you. Three things that God will change. If you allowed him to use the plan to change you, if you do not reject the kingdom assignment, he will use the kingdom assignment to change you in three ways. Number one, he'll change the way you see things. He'll change the way you see things, how you see the needs of the people, how you see the other people, how you see yourself. He'll, in fact, change the way you see the people that you serve with before you enter into a committee. I don't know how many of you have made that decision before. I have, absolutely. I'm being very honest and transparent with you. I've said no to committees because I didn't like to serve with them, right? Oh, come on. John, David, Thomas, and Peter, you know, I only like serving with Norman. Norman is not on the committee. You got a John, you got a Tom, you got a Gary, you got an Alex. I don't like none of them. Because of that, I've declined opportunities to serve in those committees. But if we're being obedient, and if God has called you to do it, and you didn't say, I want to change your plan, removing the who yourself from the equation, you're going to see God going to give you new insight of the committee, of the work that they're doing, including the people that you're serving with. Believe me, I've done that many, many times, and it is true. God is going to change you by putting you in that work, in that committee. God's going to change you, how you see things and people. He's going to enable you to see differently. Secondly, I've noticed this. When you do not attempt to change God's plan, he will transform you through his plan. He will change the way you pray. He will change the way we pray. From just asking, constantly asking for more, asking for things, ask, ask, ask in your prayer, to starting to hear, to listen. I kid you not. And these things happen right away as soon as you step up to say, God, I'm here, use me, serve, I'm willing to do it. As long as you step up, as soon as you step up, these things take place right away. It's not, you don't have to wait till the end of the kingdom assignment. It's all done, then you're going to see these things. No. As soon as you step up to do it, these things, these changes in your life, in my life, instantly take place. How many of you always doubt this question? How come I can never hear God? God, are you speaking to me? I can never hear you. I don't know what your will is for me. I can't hear you, Lord. You know why? Because you didn't listen to him in the first place. Hearing comes after listening. If God has called you to do something, you listen, you do it, and then you will hear him. If he tells you to do something, you choose not to listen, you choose to reject, obviously, you cannot hear him. There's no interaction, there's no relationship, there's nothing between you and the Lord who calls you to do something. There's absolutely nothing, it's void, it's nothing. There's no conversation to take place right there. Because you're not even part of the project, you're not part of the kingdom assignment. Number three, and this is really important, and I'm still learning this lesson myself. How can God change us if we did not change his plan? He will help us mature and all in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. You all know that very well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Most people don't really care about the all nine thing, right? All we care is the first three, love, joy, peace, right? In fact, we don't even like joy. Joy is kind of boring. Joy is like something blessing in disguise, right? The new definition defined by some Chinese church pastors, you know, like joy is, you know, blessing in disguise. Even though you're in the middle of a suffering, you can still be joyful. No, we want happiness. Why don't we just call them love, happiness, and peace? Isn't that great? If your life is all around love, you're being loved, and you have someone whom you love, and I hope he or she loves you too, and happiness, and peace, world peace, inner peace, all good. That's all you care about, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? There's only one fruit, but nine components, and all we care, as we cannot remember the rest of them anyways, just all three, just the top three. I hate that song. Happiness. But you know the song that I was talking about? When I was in high school, I was actually leading junior Sunday school, junior worship. And one of the songs I refused to lead was Happiness. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, happy all the time. I'm inward, outward, upward, downward, happy all the time. Since Jesus came to me and washed away my sin, I'm happy. I'm inward, outward, upward, downward, happy all the time. I'm a terrible singer, I know that. But this song is just as terrible as my singing. What do you mean I'm happy all the time? I know since Jesus came to me, I'm grateful all the time. But you're not necessarily happy all the time. I hope you're not going for happiness when you become a Christian, you know, but that's all we care. Love, happiness, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I don't want that, right? But if you would allow God to use his plan to invite you to do some kingdom assignment, I tell you, you're going to experience full growth in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In all nine of them, all nine components, you're going to see them grow. And like I said again, I want to emphasize this again. Instantly, as you step up, as you enter into the kingdom assignment, you will experience something that you did not expect to grow, to see growth. Like, you know, what do you mean? Like faithfulness. What do you mean self-control? What do you mean gentleness? These things are real. It's a part. They're all integral part of the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Have you not experienced that before in your life? If your answer is yes, I've never experienced that in my life, probably you have rejected and missed out way too many kingdom assignments. I'm going to speed up. Theological reflection point number three. Perhaps this servant number three was thinking to himself, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just like the rest of them. Like, who would listen to the master when he tells us to do something? I mean, it's not easy right now, the season and everything else. You have all these excuses to give yourself, you know, it's not easy. So nobody listens to them. I'm just like the rest of them. So I'm okay. Well, wait a minute. If this is what you believe, then this parable needs to be rewritten. This parable, I said, was engineered, was designed, was written by Jesus. You know, he designed the parable, and he said the master had three servants, the one to 5,000, the 2,000, the one five bags and two bags, and the one bag of gold, and the guy with the five and the two made double, and then they presented to the master, and they were good and faithful servants. That's two out of three who gave an account for what they did, and they were good and faithful. There was only one in this parable, and I don't believe this is a coincidence, because when you read this parable, it's actually from Matthew chapter 25, I believe, you'll see two other parables before and after this parable. The first parable was about the 10 virgins, right? The five were stupid. The first five were wise. That's the word in the Bible. They called them foolish or stupid, right? They did not prepare the oil, the extra oil. You know that story, that, you know, the 10 virgins. Five were smart, five were dumb. The other parable, which is also about the kingdom, I would say chapter 25, verse 32 to 47-ish, it's about the separation between the goat and the sheep, right? Because one day when the master returned, he's going to see, like, there are some fake Christians out there. Not all Christians or claim to be Christians can enter into the kingdom of God, because when the master comes back, he's going to find out who is really the sheep. And some of them are not, they're goats. They'll be thrown out in the darkness. There'll be pain. There'll be suffering. There'll be, like, you know, gnashing of teeth, right? That's what the Bible says. In this parable, Jesus also wrote about this. A master had three servants. Why not four? Two of them were lazy. Two of them were good. I mean, you can still make the point, all right? I mean, for a parable to make a point to understand the kingdom, why not just two? Why not just two servants? One was good, faithful, loyal, good and faithful servant, went out to invest the money, however many bags of gold he got. The other one was bad, lazy, and called the master wicked, and therefore he was wicked himself, right? Why can't that be an equal number of people in this parable? Why would Jesus say, when the kingdom comes, this will be like when the kingdom comes, when the master had to go on a journey for a long time, he summoned and got three servants here. Two of them were good. Only one of them was bad. I don't believe it was a mistake. I don't believe it was unintentional. I think God is telling us, Jesus is telling us, for no, he knows. When it comes to the heaven, when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to surrender, I mean, giving an account for your kingdom assignments, the majority of them, 67% of the servants of the Lord can give an account. Only 33.333% cannot. And I hope you're not in that category. I hope you don't belong to that one-third, that 33%. I hope if there's three servants, I hope you belong to the two. You're not the one left alone. So don't you think, I mean, don't argue that, hey, I'm just like anybody else. I mean, nobody these days listen to the Lord. Nobody would do the work of the Lord. Nobody is going to step up to kingdom assignment. Nobody would do that because I'm just like anybody else. Wrong, because the Bible tells us that the majority of them can give an account. Kingdom is about time will tell. Kingdom is about time will tell. Many of you are pretty young in this room. Some I've known for many years, about the same age. But most of you are young. So your time will tell may not be something so instantaneous. It could be like a long way down, maybe decades down the road. I'll be preaching to the second congregation after this service. I'm going to give them a warning. You know, I think I know the average age of the Cantonese congregation. You know what? Even before Jesus returned, we're getting closer and closer to seeing him, right? I only have maybe 20 more active years to live. I don't know. I don't know the average age of the Cantonese congregation or the Mandarin. But you know what I'm saying? Kingdom is about time will tell. The decisions that you make determine the story that you tell tomorrow. Life is not merely measured by how long you live, the length, but also the width and the depth. Have you heard that before? My sister only lived till 55. I told you the story, right? But I've come to realize one thing. I love my sister. I grew up in a broken family, so my sister was like my father to me in a way. Anyways, so it's not about how long you're gonna live. I mean, that's one thing. If you're gonna live till 90, that's good, good health. 85, that's good. 75, that's all good. 55, a little short, my sister, but still good life. But the goodness of her life and your life and my life is not really measured by how long we get to live, but also the width and the depth. What is the width? The width is the role that you play. I mean, you being an elder of the church, you being like serving your father, your mother, your son and daughter, your sister, brother, friends, your coworker of someone. That's the role, many roles that you play at different times, right? The depth is how intense, how engaged you are in those roles. Your life is actually three-dimensional, it's not two. And definitely not just linear. How long? Give me your number. How long? 55? Oh, that's wasteful. Okay, 75, that's too long. Like, no, it's not just linear. It's not even just two-dimensional, but also depth, three-dimensional. Now, is your life three-dimensional enough to contain when you have a box, right? Three-dimensional, six sides. Am I correct? I'd never pass my physics, but this is more than N. Is it big enough? Is your life the length, the width, and the depth that gives you the three-dimensional capacity? Is that capacity big enough to contain some kingdom assignment? That's my challenge to you today. I mean, if you look at your life only linear, everything is like just linear. I'm 27. I'm supposed to get married. I have no intention and interest in doing anything else except to find a wife, to find a husband. I'm 30 years of age. It's time to have children. So I'm going to have children, focus on having children. That's my focus, my sole focus. I'm 55. I should be focusing on my retirement because I've been working for like 30 years. I started working in 25, so 55, early retirement, richer than you think, you know. That's a linear way to see life. It's so boring. It's so boring. It's so limiting. So restrictive. But when you increase it to the width and the depth, you see instantly, I don't know how many times, six times more, 60 times more the capacity to do things. Do you have the capacity to take up some kingdom assignment? Romans 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I mean, this is what a Christian journey is like. This is what the spiritual journey is like. This is what we, CNMA, believe in transformation, right? We also believe in sanctification. This is the sanctification journey. Serving the Lord is not an excursion to Alaska cruise. I just came back last week from Alaska cruise. It was the last cruise to Alaska before the end of the season. So it was cold, wet and cold. So we spent the whole day in, you know, basically just in at the restaurants and in the library for a little bit. Even the deck was closed because it was raining. The pools were closed and everything else. And we did not join any excursion because they're boring, right? I mean, I came from Alberta, Edmonton. I spent another 10 years living in Regina, Saskatchewan prior to that. So my whole life has been around snow. Why do I want to see more snow and ice, iceberg? You know, I got enough ice in my backyard. So I didn't join any excursion. But, you know, Christian journey is not an excursion thing that you go to Alaska. It's something so exciting. I'm not trying to put down the Alaskan cruise, but I'm telling you that, you know, there's nothing to see in Alaska. But if you were to join an excursion to go somewhere else, for example, I joined an excursion to St. Petersburg a few years ago to Baltic Sea to see the palaces of the kings back in the Russia, former Russia. And then I actually turned around to see Scotland, Ireland, and back to Dover, back to London. There was a lot to see. In fact, I went to see St. Andrew's golf course. You know I'm a golfer, right? I'm avid golfer, right? So I actually paid extra to go on an excursion to see St. Andrew's golf course and also the St. Andrew's University where Prince William and Kate were dating back then.
Exciting. Your Christian journey has got to be exciting. There's a lot of things to do, a lot of things to see, a lot of things to experience. It's not just an excursion to Alaska. Never lack the zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I know this is common sense, but this is not common practice. It's all common sense, but unfortunately, not common practice. We take a different turn. In closing, I want to share with you another passage. It's about the kingdom, right? It's not just about the servants or the master. It's about the kingdom. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, it says, once on being asked by the Pharisees, Jesus was being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come. That's all they care. When will the kingdom come? When will the kingdom come? You teach us how to pray, right? Thy kingdom come, right? So when will the kingdom come? The Pharisees asked Jesus. Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is. Oh, there it is. No, because the kingdom of God, says Jesus, is in your heart. The more news you watch day in and day out, listening to the radio, something like that. I don't think you read papers anymore, but whatever on your iPhone. The more you ask yourself, you know, hey, this is like the end times is coming. It's really near now, isn't it, right? You wonder when something's going to happen, something big is going to happen. When will the economy, the whole world economy will collapse? You're going to wonder, you know, what are some of the wars and battles will take place and will it affect your economy, will it affect your life? And you want to wonder, when will the kingdom come? That's the same mentality that the Pharisees had when they asked Jesus, when will the kingdom come? Jesus said, no, it's not something you can observe. It's not something you can see physically. It's not, hey, it's here. Oh, yeah, it's there. No. It's in your heart. My friends at VCAC, what is the condition of your heart today? What is the condition of your heart today? Remember First Samuel? Remember when David was just a little shepherd boy? You know, his father didn't even include him in the selection process for the king when Samuel approached Jesse, right? And then it says, well, that's all you got? Like all the sons? Yeah, there's someone else out there, you know, a shepherd boy, his name is David, but don't even consider him because it's not worth it, right? No, I want to see him. Was it 1 Samuel chapter 16 or something? I think so, right? It says, people look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of the people. Shepherd boy, what, 5'3" versus 6'11" or even bigger, taller, I don't know. But God looks at your heart. I don't know how you see yourself. I don't know what you think your situation is in. I don't know. I wasn't going to say that. I'm going to say it anyways. I don't know how you see Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. And I know some people have told me that, okay, well, we're just a little bit like, you know, it's not the greatest right now, so we need a lot of grace, we need a lot of patience. Yes, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, you will never experience that until you responded in favor of God's calling for you to do something, to pick up your kingdom assignment. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. In fact, God cannot cause any things to change in VCAC unless all of us are going to say, God, what kingdom assignment have you got for me? And I want to do it. I want to say yes for it. I'm going to step up. I want to do it. Your life individually will not change. You will not bear fruit of the Holy Spirit unless you have stepped up to take up the new kingdom assignment. And then he'll help you grow the spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I missed one. All right? There you go. Unless you're willing to open your hands and accept the kingdom assignment, nothing will change. What is the condition of your heart? Is it open or is it closed? There are many servants out there. Which one are you? Which one are you? There are many servants out there. Which one are you? I want to say this, my last point of the day. We're talking about parables. There are two types of parables out there. There's one that is with a constant and determined subject. And there's also another type of parables that you have a variable subject. Let me explain to you why, what I'm talking about here. You may recall Jesus using the mustard seed as a subject to talk about faith, right? It says, is it Matthew 17, I believe, that if you have the faith of the mustard seed, small, you could move mountains, right? That's one type of parable. It's a constant, it's a fixed entity, mustard seed. There's another type of parables in the Bible, which is like what we have today. The master had three servants. They all came up. Two were faithful. One was not. It's not a constant. It's a variable. You can choose. Whenever Jesus uses a parable with not a constant, not a fixed entity, but a variable entity, he's actually giving you an invitation to choose. Which one do you want to be? Mustard seed is mustard seed. It's fixed, right? It's just a symbol to represent how little faith can do great miracles by the work of God. But this parable that we're reading for the next just about 45 minutes or so, it's an open invitation for all of us to say, choose which servant do you want to be? It is a parable, it is a story, but it's a variable parable that you can choose. VCAC, you can choose. My friends, some I've known for like many, many years, you can choose how to respond to kingdom assignments, how to respond to God's calling. Be a good and faithful servant, or maybe not quite wicked as the other guy, but just be lazy, doing nothing, and passing out all the opportunities for God to work and change your life. CNMA, Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, has a vision statement. And the vision statement is actually written in a prayer format, in a prayer form. Oh God, we long for you to come to transform us to become Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people making disciples everywhere. This is our mission statement. And it's not a mission statement that you boast and put on the PowerPoint every Sunday. It's something for you to pray about, perhaps daily. Oh God, we long for you to come to transform us. I don't know how much transformation do you want God in your life, but I want God to transform me. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I'm not done transforming yet. I hope God has not done transforming, changing my life yet. And I know there will be more to come. I want God to transform me. So I echo that prayer, that CNMA vision prayer. Transform me to be Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, mission-focused, making disciples everywhere. That's my kingdom assignment, and I think you have the same. So pray with me, church, as we close this part, the sermon. Lord, you have spoken to us today. We know we're not done yet. We know you have a plan for us. You have a great plan for VCAC. Lord, we're opening our hearts to you. And our gesture, our arms remain open until we hear from you loud and clear what kingdom assignment you might have for us going forward. Help us to eliminate the second voice that will lead to second thoughts. Help us to believe, over-believe in the second voice and second thought that we will reject your invitation into the kingdom. Help us, Lord. Renew us. Refresh us. In Jesus' name, amen.